Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We endeavor to teach the whole counsel of God as it is revealed in His Word, comprising 66 books of the Bible, divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. We also take the Gospel of Jesus the Messiah back to His people in Israel, the birthplace of Messiah, the birthplace of Christianity. And we take this Gospel back to the people who gave it to the world, the Jewish people. We need to hear from you. We come to you every week faithfully to bring the teaching of God's Word. The announcer at the end of the broadcast will tell you how you can get a hold of us. We also have a bi-monthly ministry newsletter that is available to you for free. I've also written several books and dealing with Jewish evangelism, the problem of evil, important chapters in the Bible like Matthew 13 and Matthew 27, 25, and so forth. So those are available through our ministry. I would strongly advise that you avail yourselves of those resources, but we need to hear from you. Well, we've been in our study called The Great Doctrines of the Bible, and we had just finished looking at angels. We just finished a four-part series on angels. Now we move into the nefarious realm of Satan and demonology. Satan and demonology. I like what Herbert Lockyer said in his great work, All the Doctrines of the Bible, when introducing the doctrine of Satan and demons. He says this: a distinguishing feature of the Bible is its faithfulness in recording the life and character of all beings, whether human or angelic, saintly or evil. He goes on to write, within the sacred volume, we not only have the biography of man, but also the history of those beings who occupy the foremost rank of created intelligences. In the foregoing study, he goes on to state, in this chapter on Satan and demons, Lockyer says, we considered the doctrine of those elect or chosen angels confirmed by God in their holy position. Now, the Bible unveils the record of those angels who have left their first estate, he's quoting Jude here, and are still in a state of rebellion against their Creator. And that would be Satan and demons. The Bible does give biographical sketches of the great invisible fallen angelic enemy of both God and man. His name originally in the beginning was Lucifer, and he became Satan and the devil when he fell in his rebellion against God. We're going to look at Satan's kingdom, his origin, his activities, his past, his present, and his future doom under the heading of Satan and demonology. We're also going to look at the spiritual realm and reality of demons, those fallen angels who are in league with Satan in his rebellion against God. They make up his hierarchical kingdom, and they are ordered as armies in the Scriptures. First of all, why study this? Well, I'm reminded of General George S. Patton, the great U.S. Allied commander of World War II, when he was facing General Rommel, the great general of Germany, in the northern part of Africa. A large swath of that area during the war was desert. Before General Patton engaged in battle against Rommel and the German forces. He read General Rommel's book on military warfare and tactics to better know his enemy. And that would be General Rommel. And General Patton attributed his victory over Rommel in the North African desert to the fact that he took the time to learn the tactics of the enemy. And brethren, that is why, one of the reasons why we are studying Satan and his demonic forces, so that we, as believers on the side of right, in the kingdom of light, need to know about Satan, the enemy of God and man, and his demonic forces. We need to know their tactics so that we can better engage them by the power and grace of our Lord Jesus in battle with the spiritual warfare that is going on in the present age. We need to know the enemy so that we can better understand his tactics and therefore use the full armor of God, given in Ephesians 6, 10 through 16, so that we can defeat the enemy using the spiritual armor God gave us. And like Patton, when we do that, we will be able, by the power and grace of the Lord Jesus, be able to know the enemy and defeat him. The Bible tells us that the origin of Satan and demons began with their rebellion against God. The Bible gives us a historical overview of their pristine and pre-fallen state, why they fell when they rebelled against God, their current activity to harm man and seek to thwart the plan of God, and their future damnation when God finally overthrows Satan and permanently consigns him to the lake of fire. The reason why we group Satan and demons together is because they are really one in their operation, assignment, and in their purpose. What is their purpose? Well, their evil purpose is to subvert, to thwart, and to overthrow God's sovereign and beneficent purposes for mankind. Had Lucifer not become Satan, no doubt there would have been no demons as well. So Satan and demons work together. The demons are under the authority of Satan. They work together to thwart the purpose and plan of God. Remember, Jesus spoke of the devil and his angels. And in grouping them together, he identifies them as one evil conglomerate. Jesus also called Satan several times the prince of this world. So Satan is the author and ruler of the fallen sphere that we currently live in. More on that later. Those who, whether knowing or unknowing, carry out Satan's plan to thwart God's purpose, cast doubt on his word, deny the lordship and deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, are in spiritual league with Satan and his demonic forces. Remember what Jesus said to the myopic religious leaders of Israel. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." So, whenever you see somebody speak against the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in a radical way, or speaking for Jesus yet denying who he really is, like sentimental religionists do, they are in reality one with their spiritual father, Satan, who seeks to despise the Lord Jesus Christ as the exclusive truth and way back to God. So for every despiser, every opponent of Jesus Christ and His gospel, you will find these demons, these evil spirits, in league with Satan behind them. So we are going to look at what Scripture says about the origin, history, comprising past, present, and future, work, and final doom of Satan and the demons conspiring with them. When we look at the Bible gives in no uncertain terms and gives in a matter-of-fact way a biography and an affirmation of the existence of Satan, the devil. When you look throughout the Scripture, you will see his existence from the Torah, the prophets, the historical books, the poetic books, if we include Job in that, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Book of Acts, the epistles, general epistles, and Revelation. All throughout the Scriptures, Satan's existence as a supernatural fallen angel is affirmed. Jesus himself affirmed the existence of Satan throughout his life on earth. So when we look at Scripture, we will see then, starting with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the prophets, the apostles, and the other writers of the sacred writ, had no doubts as to the reality of this enemy of mankind and God. That would be Satan. The best argument that Satan will use to convince men that he does not exist is the fact he does not exist. I remember I was arguing with a family member one time, and he was ridiculing the idea of the existence of a supernatural fallen angel called Satan. He dismissed it out of hand, and I curtly replied to him, "Well, in denying that he exists, you affirm his existence because he has already deceptively convinced you. He has already deceptively convinced you he does not exist. And so if a person is convinced Satan does not exist, why then should he put up resistance? Why should he make careful watch for an enemy who does not exist?" That would then allow Satan free rein because you refuse to admit he exists, therefore you're not going to fight what you believe is a fiction and a phantom. Sadly, in the much of Christendom today, particularly with our unbelieving liberal seminaries, denominations, and churches, the existence of a personal devil is regularly dismissed out of hand. One can go to any university today, and a good number of seminaries, and there you will meet professors and teachers who proudly deny the existence of a personal devil. Yet, they will affirm the reality of evil in the world. And a question then that can be posed to these people is, how can there be evil forces? How can there be a presence and power of evil without a figure behind them all? Furthermore, there are great evils that have occurred in history that defy normal and naturalistic explanation. There is no rational explanation for many forms of gratuitous and senseless evil. These liberals who are in our churches, denominations, and seminaries go against not only the infallible Word of God, they go against the infallible words of the Son of God, who affirmed the existence of Satan and personally fought with him for 40 days when he was tempted of him in the wilderness. So if we are to follow the naturalistic and materialistic mindset today that denies the supernatural and thereby denies Satan, then we are saying they know more than the infallible Son of God. And that's a position that you do not want to take or stand on because it is a rotting foundation. behind all evil powers, there must be a personality directing them. I take, for example, the Shoah or the Holocaust. If you try to explain this in terms of mere sociological phenomena or in terms of psychopathology, you will come up with more questions than answers. But if you put the biblical template on the Holocaust and view it as Satan's attempt to destroy the chosen people and thereby undermine God's covenants that he made with them, which are unconditional, eternal, and irrevocable, and immutable, then it begins to make sense why a person like Hitler and his Nazi cronies were fanatical in their tireless attempts to destroy the Jewish people. It was to prevent God's word and promises from coming to pass with Israel. Because when the Messiah returns, he will return to redeem the Jewish people as the nation of Israel, living once again in the ancient homeland God gave them 3,500 years ago. You destroy the Jews, all that goes out the window, and the Bible then becomes a work of fiction. So when you put a supernatural slash biblical template on what is considered inexplicable, the Holocaust, it makes perfect sense then why Satan would use a Hitler to destroy the chosen people. Now, when we talk about the devil, we have to rule out the ridiculous caricatures that have been traditionally portrayed of him. This red-horned, pointy-tailed, goateed cartoon character. That must be ruled out. Because, in reality, Satan is a master deceiver and counterfeiter. And when he comes to people, he does not come as he truly is. He comes with the appearance of goodness, tranquility, and beauty. Yet behind those facades lurks the murderer of man and the arch enemy of God. And the only way we can discern the devil from the divine is by the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Scripture. Whatever someone does or says in the public arena claiming to answer life's questions, if those answers that are given do not square with Scripture, then it's not from God. And it can only be from another source, Satan himself. Now, when we talk about Satan and demons, we must, of course, mention the fact that these Satan and the demonic forces under him are not loosely aligned. No, they have a power structure. Like any kingdom one, they have a power structure. An order and rank exist within that power structure, comprising a spiritual hierarchy. The Word of God clearly indicates that in the universe and beyond it, in the spiritual dimension, there exists the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is the opposite of what the kingdom of God is. You see this kingdoms in conflict and opposing one another when Jesus came to establish the messianic kingdom, or what is called the kingdom of God. They're one and the same. Jesus came to heal people. The kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan, seeks to keep people bound in sickness. The kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God, came to save people. The kingdom of darkness seeks to keep people under the damnation of their sins. On and on we can go with this contrast between God's kingdom of light and Satan's kingdom of darkness. But we're focusing on Satan's kingdom. And it is the very antithesis of what the kingdom of God is. Who is in control of this kingdom? Well, that would be Satan himself. He is called the prince of this world. Now, when we mean world, we mean the system by which this fallen world operates by. And John tells us in 1 John that there are three ruling principles by which this fallen, sinful world is ruled by. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And all of us, believers, we have to fight against this every day. But those who are unsaved and unregenerate belong to the kingdom of Satan. And therefore, they operate by these three fallen and sin-centered principles. And they think it's normal and natural. So we have Satan's kingdom that is a kingdom of darkness, spiritual darkness, ignorance about the essence of life and the purpose for life, and that is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The kingdom of God, in contrast, is a kingdom of light, God's presence, God's knowledge of God, and God's personal influence in our lives. Then we have Satan's kingdom. It's a kingdom of sin and unrighteousness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of holiness and righteousness. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of sickness and disease. God's kingdom is a kingdom of healing and health. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of deception. God's kingdom is one of truth. Satan's kingdom is of sorrow, suffering, and death. And God's kingdom is one of joy and life. In the present age, every nation under the sun is under the dominion and activity of Satan and the demonic realm. That's why when a person gets saved, born again, he no longer belongs to the kingdom of darkness, but he becomes a citizen of God's kingdom of light. The increase of ungodliness, occultism, Satanism, and all other practices and beliefs associated with the occult are indicators that we are living in a world that is rapidly becoming more under the influence of Satan. And this should be no surprise. We're seeing this also in the church with the bold and rebellious attempts to bring into the church false doctrine, ungodly lifestyles, and so forth. And we should not be surprised, because the New Testament does predict that in the last days the church will be inundated with doctrines of devils or demons. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 1 through 3. There's a fine line for born-again Bible believers here, and a warning, I think. There are two extremes to avoid when getting to know thy enemy, Satan, and his demonic forces from the Scriptures, which is our battle manual. And it's our manual to know the character of the enemy and how he operates. There are two extremes to avoid here. One extreme is to deny the existence of the satanic and the demonic, to dismiss the supernatural existence of Satan and demons. For to do that is to sign your own spiritual death warrant. Because how, if you refuse to admit this supernatural enemy, Satan, exists, you will not fight him. And therefore, he will have free reign, because he will meet no resistance from the opposing side. So we need to avoid denying the reality of Satan, the supernatural reality and influence of Satan and demons. The other extreme we must avoid is, and I'm afraid this exists more than the other extreme to avoid is seeing everything as demonic and everything being the work of the devil. Some things in this world happen. Some things in this world just happen because, due to the fallen nature of creation. creation itself is decaying and dying as we speak, and there are going to be negative consequences attached to that. So when you're sick, it doesn't necessarily mean Satan is attacking you. It just means that you are suffering from the effects of living in a fallen world under the curse of death. Other times, yes, Satan is using sickness to hinder or attack the believer. But we must be careful. We must be careful in adopting a Flip Wilson mentality. I forgot the lady he used to dress up as, but whenever this character did something wrong, she would say, "The devil made me do it." Well, we need to avoid that kind of fatalistic theology that seeks to deny and defer moral responsibility onto Satan for wrong things and sinful things we do. The devil didn't make you sleep with your neighbor's wife. The devil didn't make you murder somebody. Now, he could have influenced you to do that. And in some instances, serial killers who have given their lives and opened their souls to the occult, indeed, demon spirits entered in and took over. But remember, that person gave them that authority, surrendered their will to them. They weren't forced to do it. Whenever we sin, however slight, however minor or major, it's not because the devil made us do it. He didn't force our hand. It's because we chose to surrender to the temptation that he is offering. So there are two extremes to avoid here: the denial of Satan's existence, the denial of demonic spirits, and also the overemphasis that Satan and demons are in everything. We've got to avoid those two extremes when we study the biblical doctrine of Satan and demons. Well, the Bible affirms that Satan has a kingdom, and its domain currently resides over this fallen world system. So a kingdom, in order for it to be such, has to have a domain where it rules over. What do we mean by domain? Well, this refers to a specific area and perimeter where the rule, reign, and territory is subjected to kingly rule. It is the rule, reign, and territory over which a king rules. And since Satan has a kingdom, that kingdom covers the fallen world. The domain of the kingdom of darkness is wherever Satan exercises his dominion. And when Adam and Eve ceded their regal authority given to them by God to Satan in the Garden of Eden, Satan became the God, the little g, of this world, and the prince who rules over this fallen system dominated by sin and rebellion against God. His kingdom was established by rebellion first in heaven when he led 1/3 of the angels against God. They were defeated, and those angels that sided with Satan became demons. Then he was allowed to come to earth and possess the serpent in the garden, and through the supernatural ability of the serpent to speak by the power of Satan, man fell, sinned against God, and then they forfeited that rulership of the earth over to Satan, who then became the ruler of this fallen world. We're going to get more into detail on that the next time we are with you. But Satan does have a kingdom. He does have followers in that kingdom. Some know, some knowingly, others unknowingly. And he has legions, soldiers, armies, if you will, that carry out his bidding. And those would be demons, the fallen angels, who fell with him in their rebellion against God. Well, I see time has escaped me. We'll pick up on this next time we are with you. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.